Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 9, text 33. And let's see. Could somebody hand me a Bhagavad Gita off the shelf, hardcover Bhagavad Gita? Tribhuvana. Kamanam Tamalavarnam Ravikara Gora Varambaram Darane Bapu Alakakula Avrita. Anana Abjam Vijaya Sake Rati Astu Me Anabadya Tribhuvana Kamanam Tam Alavarnam. Tribhuvana kamanam tamala alavarnam. Ravi kara goravara ambaram dadane. Vapur alaka kula avrita ananabjam. Vapur alaka kula avrita ananabjam. Vijaya sake ratirastu me anuvaja. Oh, what is it? Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam. Like that? All right. Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam. Ravi kara gora vara ambaram dadane. Vapur alaka kula vrittanu abjam. Vijaya sake ratir astu main anvadya. Either way, it seemed pretty awkward. I played around with this for about 20 minutes trying to figure out which one it was, and the Brahma Samhita seemed to work better, but okay, we could do this one. Tribhuvana kamanam tamalavarnam. Ravi kara gora vara ambaram dadane. Good. Okay. Ravi kara gora vara ambaram dadane. Vapur alaka kula vrittanam bajam. Vijaya shake ratirastu main vara. Others. Vaishnavis. Chubhuvana. Three statuses of planetary systems. Kamanam, the most desirable. Tamalavarnam, bluish like the tamal tree. Ravikara, sun rays. Ngora, golden color. Varambaram, glittering dress. Dadane, one who wears. Bapu, body. Alakakula Avrita, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp. Anana Abjam, face like a lotus. Vijaya Sake, unto the friend of Arjuna. Rati Astu, may attraction be reposed upon him. May, Anabhaja, without desire for fruitive results. Purport, translation and purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction. And may I not desire fruitive results. Purport. When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. The attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. Therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything materially created. Arjuna is described here as the conqueror, and Krishna is described as his intimate friend. Bhishmadev, on his bed of arrows after the Battle of Kurukshetra, is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna, which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly he admired his so-called enemy Arjuna for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishmadev takes this opportunity to address the Lord as Vijay Shake, friend of Arjuna, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees, who are related with him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful you created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishmadev. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in the chivalrous humor. Transcendental relation with the Lord in any of the different rasas, humors, is relishable by the respective devotees in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsels of Brajadam. Such a cheap relation with the Lord exhibits only base mentality of the mundaner, because one who has relished conjugal humor with the Lord cannot be attached to worldly conjugal rasa, which is condemned even by mundane ethics. The eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord is evolved. A genuine relation of the living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishmadeva is a concrete example of this, and it should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related with the Lord.
Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakara Mayam Dadati Swaparantitam.
So, here Bhishmadeva is lying on his bed of arrows, and he's being visited by Marjudhisthira, Arjuna, all the Pandavas, Lord Krishna, and he's about to offer prayers to Krishna. And this is the second of 20 prayers. And the first prayer he starts off saying, "Let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which was so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna." So that's his intention, to do that. And actually, in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada, there's a few references to Bhishmadeva in the Nectar of Devotion here. Prabhupada cites a definition given by Bhishmadeva of what love is, love of Godhead. And Prabhupada says, "A great authority like Bhishma has explained that love of Godhead means completely giving up so-called love for any other person. According to Bhishma, love means to repose one's affection completely upon one person, withdrawing all affinities for any other person." So Bhishmadeva, I don't know if Prabhupada's thinking of these verses while he's making that statement, but he seems to be walking his talk. You know, what he's being cited as, according to his definition of what love of Godhead is, he's, you know, intending to do that here in his prayers. Okay, kind of going through the purport point by point. Prabhupada says here, the Lord is the absolute form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. As such, transcendental loving service to the Lord is... Am I doing the right thing? Sorry. Reading the wrong purport. Sorry, I started to read the wrong purport. When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. So can anybody think of a Bhagavad Gita verse which states that? Give us a break, will you? You know, we don't want the 45-year devotees. That was, hopefully, we get the devotees 5 years and less, maybe. Okay, that's the verse, yeah. Archer to let the cat out of the bag. Ajopi san aviyam bhutanam ishvaropi san prakatim swamadhisthaya sambhavami atmamaya. That Krishna says when he comes to this material world, he does that in his internal potency. And that's the verse that states it. The next sentence is saying how the attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. So, can anybody think of a verse or some Sanskrit, a verse or a shloka, which we actually recite every day, where this same point is being made? Not in exact same words, but we chant it every day together in the morning. Well, not exactly, but you're warm. You're pretty warm. Within the last half hour, let's say. Huh? No. The question again is a verse that touches upon this point about how Krishna's attractive features are desired in all the three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planets, and not Archita. What? Yeah, Brahma Sanita. Vainam kvanantam adavinda dalachana paksham. Kandarpa koti kamani avishesha sobam. That he's more attractive than thousands of cupids. So that's, you know, every morning we're reciting that, and it's describing some of the same things that are described here in this verse, that Krishna has eyes like blooming lotus petals, and his color is referred to, and etc. So Prabhupada goes on to say here, therefore his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything materially created. Can anybody think of a verse from the Bhagavad Gita which states that? Yeah, that one. And what about Avajananti Mamuta Manashimta? Krishna's body is nothing to do with this material world. Fools think that, but it's totally transcendental. So, Papa goes on saying here how Bhishma Dev on his bed of arrows after the battle of Kurukshetra is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna, which he put on as a driver of Arjuna's chariot while fighting. Was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma. Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly, he admired his so-called enemy Arjuna for possessing the Lord as his friend. So, when you hear this, at least when I read it, I was thinking, wow, this doesn't sound like the meditation of somebody who's, you know, remembering a battle. You know, it's like Bhishma was engaged in a fighting against Arjuna and Krishna. And, you know, he's remembering, but what is he remembering? He's remembering how beautifully Krishna was dressed. You know, it sounds more like, say, somebody goes to a dance and he sees his friend with a beautiful girl or something like that. And, you know, it's, you'd think that you'd hear a different memory of a battle scene, you know, an engagement in a battle, but, you know, it's kind of something that's difficult to understand. And there's a nice verse in the prayers of Queen Kunti. Maya jivani kachanam agyanat hokshajam avyayam lakshase mudadrisam nato natadara yata. That Queen Kunti is explaining that Krishna comes and he plays like a dramatic actor. You know? So these are pastimes. These are, you know, it's this rasa. It's hard to understand what on the surface what's really going on. You know, if somebody was watching Bhishma Dev fighting with Arjuna and Krishna, they wouldn't, just from looking at it, you wouldn't think that there's a loving relationship going on there, but that's what's happening. There's a verse in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, I can't remember the first line, but Bhakto Sime Sakacheti Rahasyam Hiye Tarutamam. That Krishna says that he's instructing this science of devotional service, of yoga, to Arjuna because he's his friend and his devotee. Therefore, he can understand the mystery of this science. So it's a mystery. You know, it's a mystery what's going on between the Lord and his devotees. And Krishna is like, as is stated there, it's a drama. You know, as Queen Kunti stated, it's a drama. And it's really something that's can't be understood, you know, by the mundaners. It can only be understood by devotees when it's revealed to them, when Krishna is pleased by their devotional service. Going on here, Bhishma Dev takes the opportunity to address. Oh no, I think I skipped the sentence here. Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, indirectly admired his so-called enemy Arjuna for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna is always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Anybody think of a Bhagavad Gita verse which sort of says that, describes that, how Arjuna is always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend? 18 chapter. Huh? Text 78. Anybody know that one? Okay, go ahead. Yeah, what's the translation? Go ahead, you might as well. So it goes on. Bhishma Dev takes this opportunity to address. Bhishma Dev takes this opportunity to address the Lord as Vijay Shakya, friend of Arjuna, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees, who are related to him in different transcendental humors. So can anybody think of another example of that? Where Krishna is addressed not as Krishna, but as Prabhupada says here, in relation to his devotee. You want a hint? What? Yeah. Well, actually, there's so many examples of that. Well, the one that came to my mind is in the Shashastakam prayers. I heard Prabhupada comment on this. Ayi Nanda Tanuja. Nanda Tanuja. Now, Prabhupada, in a lecture, was kind of, you know, made that point that Nanda Tanuja is the son of Maharaj Nanda. And same point. You know, he likes to be addressed in relation to his devotees. That's, you know, rather than just directly by his name. It says, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees, who are related to him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishma Dev. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in the chivalrous humor. Transcendental relation with the Lord in any of the different rasas, humors, is relishable by the respective devotees in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsel of Raja. Such a cheap relation with the Lord. Well, a point that's being made here is that Bhishma Dev was primarily in the dasya ras, servitude, and a secondary ras of chivalry. And, you know, he was satisfied in that. That's the point Prabhupada's going to make here. It says, the eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord has evolved. The genuine relation of the living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the principal rasa. So his principal rasa actually was servitude, and it does not make any difference in the transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishma Dev is a concrete example of this, and it should be carefully observed how the great general is transcendentally related with the Lord. So in other words, he's not trying to, he's not dissatisfied with being in the dasya ras, with this secondary rasa of chivalry. He's, you know, that's his perfection. And Prabhupada is, in the purport, he's warning against imitating, you know, jumping at once to higher rasas without any qualification. That's sahajya. And, you know, if one does that, then it's not appreciated. It's rasa. It's not appreciated by Krishna, and it's actually offensive. Like, you can't imitate the behavior of the gopis, or you can't, in the, like, Chaitanya Leela, there was this one very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, Damodar Pandit, who used to criticize Lord Chaitanya. And, you know, he could kind of get away with it to a certain extent, but you have to have that relationship. If you know, one of the ordinary devotees would try to do that, forget it. They would, you know, they'd be way out of line. So that's an important point that, you know, whatever rasa one finds oneself in, as it says here, it's evolved. That's perfect. And there's no need to try to imitate the behavior of devotees who are in another rasa, because, you know, it just, it's artificial. And it's, consequently, it's not favorable devotional service. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. Anybody have any questions? Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. I just read a definition between a sahajiya and a Vaishnava.
Yeah.
Is that the sahajiyas are thinking of their own sense gratification, where Vaishnava is thinking of Krishna's pleasure.
That's a good point.
The basic difference.
Okay, well, I could do this. We've got a few minutes. I found some, as I said, I went through the Nectar Devotion. I found some things about Bhishma Dev. So I'll read a couple things here. They're pretty good. This is on the from the chapter Krishna's qualities of Krishna further explained. It says here, Krishna's compassion was also, this is the quality of compassion. Krishna's compassion was also exhibited when grandfather Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows, which had been shot through his body. While lying in this position, Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna, and thus Krishna appeared there. Upon seeing the pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. Not only was he shedding tears, but also he forgot himself in his compassion. Anyway, that's a good point. Notice how Krishna's not, they're in a conflict, right? They're fighting. But Krishna doesn't become Bhishma's enemy, and Bhishma hasn't become Krishna's enemy. We're not hearing that Krishna is saying, okay, Bhishma, you're lying there on the bed of arrows, serves you right. No. He's sad about the whole thing. Despite the fact that superficially it seems like, they're inimical, they haven't lost the plot. Bhishma Dev hasn't lost his affection for his great devotee. As Krishna hasn't lost his affection for his great devotee Bhishma Dev, and nor has Bhishma Dev, obviously from his prayers, he's thinking in any other way but reverential devotion towards Krishna, despite the fact that superficially they're enemies there on the battlefield. You want to say something? Yeah.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class. Actually, we were supposed to start reading Krishna book today, but I forgot to remind you. But anyway, this is an important verse, and the point that Nagapandi Mataji brought up about Sahaja. Prabhupada actually used on more occasions a different definition of Sahaja. The definition he used was that they take things cheaply. In other words, they want the goal of Krishna Prema, which is what should be driving us. We all want Krishna Prema. But we have accepted that you have to go through the sadhana process and take it seriously. Whereas the Sahaja doesn't. They just think Krishna Prema is the goal. And all I have to do is pretend that I'm on that platform and everything is okay. So that's taking it cheaply. And that's referred to in today's purport also.
Yeah.
That because they take things cheaply, they want the highest rasa. Be a tree in Vrindavan or water or even a cow? No, I have to be a gopi. And so Prabhupada said, yes, if you take that to the logical conclusion, then you want to be Radharani. Why just be an ordinary gopi? Let me be Radharani. So this is the business of the Sahaja. They take things very cheaply. So we have to guard against that, because sometimes in Krishna consciousness, even though we're on the path, we can develop that mentality that I want to get to the goal, but I can't be bothered to go through the sadhana process strictly. I'll just award myself Krishna Prema prematurely. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful of that.
Okay, I'll read one last thing from the Nectar Devotion. That's all there is. This is a statement that Bhishma Dev apparently made to Kripacharya, who is one of the other commanders in chief, along with Dronacharya. So he says, "My dear Kripacharya, just see the wonderful causeless mercy of Lord Krishna. I am most unfortunate. I have no qualifications. I was opposing Krishna's most intimate friend, Arjuna. I even tried to kill him. I have so many disqualifications, and yet the Lord is still so kind that he has come to see me at the last point of my life. He is worshipable by all great sages, but still he is so merciful that he has come to see an abominable person like me." So that's a statement. I don't know where it's from, but Prabhupada's quoting it here in the Nectar Devotion. So I guess it's bona fide. It's probably originally from the Mahabharata or something like that. Okay, so we can stop there. Grantaro Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
does a Vaishnava know when they're qualified? Since normally the Vaishnava is very humble and will say things like, I have no qualification to do this or this and things like that. So how would a Vaishnava actually know they're qualified to be on a higher platform or not progress to do it? Along with the instruction. We're always going to thank the song, but you're asked to do the instructive and some kind of songs.
This is maybe kind of far-reaching. Prabhupada's commentary when he says that the soul, the role of the jiva, seva, evolves, is that at all addressing whether or not the shroop is fixed, or is that a different topic? More internal than.
Fortune of living with Govinda for many years, and that's why I've got the good habit. Otherwise, you know, it's our natural tendency to say Rukmini instead of Rukmini. But that is okay when you're just saying one word. But when you put a bunch of words together, if you say that incorrectly, then it throws the whole thing off. So what you need to practice is getting the diacritics right.
getting that. I mean, I don't have my glasses, but there are so many examples of when you do that, you throw in a long A when it's really a short A, and you don't pronounce the long A properly. And that completely throws a meter off when you have especially difficult meters like today. And the thing about Sanskrit is that the meter, the words don't always fit the meter. And when they don't, the pronunciation is more important than the meter. But see, we have a, like, we think it's like a song where everything has to be fit into the meter. Da-da-da-da-da, you know, I got no satisfaction. So if something doesn't fit into that, then we squeeze it in. But it doesn't work. Sometimes in Sanskrit, the pronunciation...
You're saying it's not correct?
No, it's not. Sometimes the pronunciation of the words in a line don't fit even the meter that's really meant for that word. So in those cases, which are not always happening, but they do happen sometimes, that pronunciation takes precedence over meter. That's just that's the way Sanskrit goes. Yeah.
I listen to you and I listen to this philosophy. It works smooth, so...
Yeah, it's not always going to be smooth.
Okay.
Because don't forget, they're actually telling stories. That's what they're doing. And when they're doing it in a stoto, that makes it easier to remember. That's all it's good. Perfect.